Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. We have a hell of an episode today. It is menopause advice from a young white guy, which is me. I'm 28 years old. I'm a white male. I've never been through menopause and I never will go through menopause. But Inner Circle member Colin Daniels, who's also a personal trainer in Ireland, wanted to better understand it. And he wanted to better help his clients who are going through menopause. He wanted to better understand how to speak with them, how to work with them, what's true, what's not true about menopause. So we got on the phone to talk about it, which, by the way, I love that he recognized he didn't know a lot about it and he wanted to better understand it. So we got on the phone, and I know there are going to be a lot of people who say, "What do you know about menopause, Jordan? You've never been through it." And you're right. Again, I've never been through it and I never will go through it. But I've worked with hundreds, if not thousands, of women at this point in my career, helping them through menopause. Not least of which is Coach Susan Niebergall. And also, I've spent a major portion of my career researching menopause. And well, again, there'll be people who get mad just because I'm a young white guy and I've never been through it and I don't know. Well, you're right, I've never been through it, but call me crazy. I wouldn't say that my age or gender or race prevents me from being able to spend time researching and becoming knowledgeable in a certain topic. So I hope you enjoyed the episode. I hope you like it. I hope you find it helpful above all else. And let's get into it. Colin.
Jordan, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up, dude? How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you, my friend?
Man, I'm better now. It's good to hear your voice, man. How is everything?
Everything is absolutely fantastic. Thank you. And yourself?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Look, you've been doing some fighting. Yeah, I've seen that on some social media posts.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back. I'm about a year after knee surgery, so I'm slowly getting back in. So I'm hoping to get into the cage sometime this year.
That's awesome, man. That's super exciting.
Yeah. So, and a bit of news is we're having our first baby in about 2 weeks' time.
Dude, shut up. Congrats. It's amazing.
Thank you. This is why we can't make the retreat.
Wow, that's why. Okay, all right, dude, that's incredible. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yes, thank you so much. We're so looking forward to it.
If it's boy or girl before, or is it a surprise?
No, we're gonna wait and let it be a surprise. Someone said it's the only real surprise you're gonna get in life.
I love it. Dude, that's incredible. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so that's the exciting news ahead.
Dude, I'm smiling so big right now. That's amazing. That's incredible. Thank you. That's okay. That's the one excuse that lets it okay for you to not come to the Inner Circle retreat. Otherwise, I would have been it would have been unacceptable. But but that's awesome, man. So
thank you. I do appreciate that. At least I have one excuse.
So talk to me. What do you want to do today? What do you want to talk about?
Perfect. What I was going to talk to you about was, as a male trainer, I got a few female clients who are a little menopause. So I just want to make sure that I can give them the best service possible. And I think it's a topic that's not really touched upon by a lot of trainers.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a topic that doesn't get as much discussion going as I think it should, for any number of reasons. But so talk to me, where do you have any experience with it so far? Any things that you have specific questions on? Any things that you found has worked or not worked? Like what do you want to sort of cover on this topic?
I have a load of questions for you that I really want to pick your brains on. My experience so far is very, very limited, and I will be honest, and that's why I wanted to hop on this call.
Yeah,
with you.
Well, that's honestly. You're the first person I've ever spoken to who is like, "Hey, like, I'm a coach and I want to get better at this and I don't really know anything about it. So can I ask you some questions?" Like, most people aren't that willing to say they don't know. So I love that. Let's jam on it.
Brilliant. Well, my experience is limited. Like I say, I have about 3 to 4 ladies training under me who would be of a little bit older age, about their mid 40s and 50s. And like that, they're struggling to lose weight, of course, because their body's slowing down. And I just want to see if it's something I'm doing or a little bit more experience I can give them just to help them get to their course.
Okay.
Perfect. Right. So the first question I would have for you, how much do you think age is a factor in weight gain?
Age okay. Got it. Yep. This is a really common. So is age a factor in weight gain? Yes and no. And a lot of times it's not so much
age per se, as much as it is as we get older, our habits and schedule changes, right? So first, let's just talk general physiology, like in terms of like, does your metabolism slow down as you age? Like, that's probably the most common question. And I'm sure people have asked that, like, well, when I hit menopause or as I get older, does your metabolism slow down? Yes. Like, there is absolutely a metabolic slowdown as you age. But the question is, how much? Is it significant? Is it a lot? And when you're dealing with people who have not really been exercising very much, or people who have not really done much strength training, or people who don't really pay much attention to their overall nutrition or their overall even activity that's not exercise, then you'll see more of a significant metabolic drop, especially as women get older, go into menopause, and if they haven't been doing any strength training and they're losing a significant amount of muscle mass, like, you will absolutely see metabolic drop when you're losing muscle mass. And then also seeing an increase in fat mass, like metabolism will go down. But what about for the people who are strength training, who are keeping up with their activity, who are like keeping up with both exercise activity and with just overall activity that's not exercise related, just walking and general and getting their steps in, whatever that may be. Like, with them, you don't see as much of a metabolic drop, and not so much that's like really very significant, not something that should be completely radically altering their progress. And it's a really important to say this, because, and I know I've said this before, and I've had some people get upset because it goes against it sort of takes the excuse out from underneath them, right? It takes the excuse out from under their legs. And this is one of the reasons why Susan has always been so almost like critical for so many people to achieve their goals, especially women as they get older. It's and a lot of people, they get mad at me. They're like, well, what do you know? You're a young white guy. Like, why do you have any say in this? And I'm like, well, first and foremost, like, me being a young white guy has no bearing on my knowledge of the science or literature. That's number one. Number two is Susan, she's gone through all this. Like, she's going through all this, so she can say this, and they can't be like, well, you don't know what you're talking about. It's like, well, yes, I do. Like, not only do I understand the science, but I'm also literally going through this right now, and I'm telling you, this is what's going on. So for me, having worked with many, many, many women going through this, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that, yes, you will experience some metabolic drop, but it tends to be more from your habits as opposed to your age. Like, are you keeping up with your strength training? Are you keeping up with your activity? Are you aware of how much you're actually eating? And that's what Susan talks about all the time. She's like, she always thought it was her age and her metabolism and hormones. And then when she really just realized all of that was healthy and she started keeping track of her calories, she was like, I'm eating more than I thought. And it was healthy food. It was clean food, whatever that is. But it was too much. And that's really the main contributor. Does that make sense?
Well, very interesting. Brilliant. Yeah, 100%. That's brilliant. My next question would be, as a male trainer, as we just discussed, we're both young white guys, how do you approach the subject if a lady doesn't bring it up to you in your first consultation or your weekend?
Like, if they're not bringing it up, in what situation, like, would you want to talk about it?
Okay, well, let's say their progress has like slowed down or stalled, or you haven't seen that in the first few weeks. I know it's optimal to see, or not optimal. It'd be great to see something in the first few weeks, but if they're not seeing results, how would you approach and saying with your cycle or are you going through menopause for an older lady?
It's a great question. So let me ask you this before, like, have they, for example, brought up, or have they said, I'm not making progress, I don't know why, or is that something that you're noticing that they're not making much progress and you want to bring that up to them?
Pretty much, it's for me. I have a lady who's like that, not making much progress strength-wise and stuff like that. And I just don't know how to spin it. Like, it was mentioned one morning during stretching that it's coming or it might be happening.
Got it.
But how do you dive into that conversation? Because it's personal subject.
I think number one is there's no perfect way to do it. Some women are going to be like, yeah, it's totally fine. Ask me anything. Like, I'm an open book. And other people are going to be like, that's very personal. I'd rather you not talk about that. And like, you're sort of going to have to play it by ear. And that's sort of the tough part of being a coach is like, every single person is different and you're going to have to really try and be intuitive with it. That being said, there, what I always do is it, let's say someone isn't making as much progress as I would have expected. Okay. It's like, it's not going as quickly, or there, it's more of just sort of staying still for a certain amount of time. And keep in mind, I'll sort of watch that for about at least a month. Like, I won't judge it in a week or 2 weeks. It usually takes me a month before I start to say, okay, like, I would have expected to see something else going on here. In which case I'll ask them, I'll be like, hey, so talk to me, like, how do you feel about your progress so far? Because what's really important to remember is, even though I might not see progress, whether it's in weight or measurements or pictures or strength, sometimes I'll say, how do you feel about your progress? And then they'll be like, oh my God, I feel amazing. They'll be like, I feel incredible. I feel great. I have more energy. I feel more confident. In which case I say nothing else, because that's all I fucking care about. I don't give a fuck about anything else as long as they're feeling better. That's it. Like, there's no reason for me to bring up anything else, because as long as they're feeling better, that's a huge fucking win. Does that make sense?
That's, yeah, that, so that's all it takes.
That being
100%.
Said, let's say, for example, Brilliant. Their answer is, honestly, like, I'm not making as much progress as I thought I would. Like, I thought it'd be going faster. What I do here, and this is what I specialize in, this is what I talk a lot about in my seminars, it's called motivational interviewing. It's a way of structuring a conversation to let the person sort of bring it up without you feeling like you have to bring it up. So now it's all based on certain questions that allow them to answer it themselves. So instead of me being like, okay, well, do you think it's because of menopause, or do you think, like, what I'll say is like, okay, well, so talk to me. Where, this is one of my favorite questions to ask. It's a two-part question. I'll be like, number one, tell me where you think you're doing very well, and then tell me where you think you can improve. And I like this question a lot, because when you say, tell me where you think you're doing really well, you give them an opportunity to show you a positive. Something, I'm hitting the gym more, I'm being more consistent in the gym, or I've started eating more vegetables, or whatever it is. And it also opens them up to the possibility of them doing something that they might not be as consistent as they think they're being. And a lot of times when you just say, okay, well, where do you think you're screwing up? They'll get a little bit defensive. They're like, I'm doing everything you're saying I should do, type of thing. And does that make sense?
Yeah.
So basically,
that's perfect.
With that,
that's
they'll give genius. They'll give you one thing they're doing really well. And then they'll be like, well, you know what? I'm honestly not doing well with my nutrition. Like, early they'll be like, well, you know what? Like, I'm doing great during the week, but honestly, during the weekends, I've sort of been saying fuck it and going off. It's like, got it. Okay, well, that makes perfect sense. Like, that's really good to know. Let's say it's like, they say, you know what, during the weekends, I've sort of been going off. It's like, okay, awesome. So this is really good to know. Number one, it's super common. That's one of the most common issues people struggle with. How do you think you can improve? Or even before that, like, do you want to change that? Are you comfortable with your progress so far? Like, do you feel good with it? Do you just want to keep it as is? Or do you want to try and get better? And then they can tell you, well, honestly, like, you know, I'm not really ready to start making the changes on the weekend. I'm having too much fun. Cool, fine. We'll just keep it as is. Or if they're like, you know what, I do want to do better, then you can be like, okay, cool. So what do you think? How can we improve? Like, what is one way that you think you can improve your adherence on the weekends? And then they'll tell you, they'll give you the exact plan. Well, you know, like, I've sort of just been saying screw it. And I know you tell me I can't screw up and whatever. So, you know, what I'll do is, I'm going to write down everything I eat on the weekend. I'm just going to write down everything I eat, and that'll probably help. Boom. Perfect. Done. Then you follow up with that for the next month, and you continue like that. And usually when this happens, they will realize, and you will realize, it has less to do with menopause stopping progress and more to do with their habits. What I think is important to say along these lines is that going through menopause is not a comfortable process. Like, there's a lot of aspects of it that can be uncomfortable and can be emotional and cause a lot of things to change and happen that, like, make this stuff harder. I want to make that really clear. Like, it can make adhering to this harder because who knows, maybe you're more tired or maybe you're more hungry or maybe you're having emotional swings, whatever it is. But it's important to remember that even that stuff going on, it even though it's harder because you have all these other aspects going on, it doesn't mean that you can't make progress. It just means that, yeah, you're right, it's harder. Now what? You're 100% right. It is harder. Now what? Like, now we just have to. And it's not harder because, like, your body isn't allowing you to do it. It's harder because you have more obstacles in front of you now. And it doesn't mean you can't do it. It just means, are you going to be willing to push through that difficult, the challenges to do it? It's like, I fully recognize it is way harder now. But now we have two options. Either just talk about how hard it is, or do everything we can to make the progress you want to make. And what if you choose, hey, you know what, I just sort of want to talk and vent and complain about how hard it is, great, that's fine. I mean, personally, I'm not going to do that as your coach because I'm going to work with other people who are going to be working through it. But if that's what you'd rather do, by all means, go home, talk to your spouse, talk to your friends about it. But like, you have two options. Option A is just sit and complain. Option B is actually do it. And like, both options are valid. You can choose, but like, one of them is going to help you achieve your goals and one of them won't.
Perfect. Excellent. Yeah, you've just blown my next question out of the water.
What was the next
My next question was literally, I've heard it's nearly impossible. Just another coach on a podcast says, you are where you are, accept
it. Bullshit.
But in your opinion, like, when you're going to, thank you. Yeah, and that's why this is the main reason I wanted to talk to you, because that's what he's saying, and I wanted to get your opinion. So your opinion is that it's not impossible, it's just hard.
Imagine, I wish Susan was on this call. Could you imagine if you told Susan, oh no, it's impossible, or if someone told Susan, like, it's impossible, just stay, be happy with where you are. It's like, you know, the whole, there's this whole body positivity movement, which I think everything has good pros and cons to it. Then again, anything taken to an extreme, I'm not a fan of. Anything taken to an extreme, like whether it's nutrition, strength training, body shaming, and also body positivity, there's a spectrum. And when the idea of body positivity that I love is loving yourself, love who you are. But when you go to this side of body positivity, that the extremist end being like, don't even try changing your body, just because if you try changing your body in any way, shape, or form, that means you don't love your body, period. And if you don't love your body, period, then you're a bad person. It's like, hold on, like, this is going way too far to the extreme. People are more than able to love themselves and love their body while still also wanting to improve it and want to change it. Just because you want to improve in something doesn't mean that you don't love yourself. It's not like, that would be like saying, don't you dare read a textbook. Don't you dare read a book, because if you don't love your intelligence level as is, then you don't love yourself. So just don't read anything. Don't try and improve your knowledge, because if you don't love your knowledge level, then clearly you don't love yourself. It's like, that's fucking ridiculous. People can want to improve while still loving themselves. So in terms of menopause, it makes it harder. You have more obstacles in front of you. But this, it's not just menopause. I mean, you could take people – I have men and women who – travel consistently for work. Like, I traveled consistently nonstop for the last 3 years straight. It made it way fucking harder because I was getting, no joke, number one, I was pulling at least one all-nighter every week. I've been very open about that. Like, I was staying up all night, at least one night a week, sometimes more, getting on the nights I was sleeping, it was often 3 hours or less. I was usually working in hotel gyms or just in my hotel period. It made it harder. But it wasn't impossible. It wasn't – I couldn't do it. It was like, okay, now I just have to adjust based on the obstacles in front of me and figure out how to move past them. It's the same thing with menopause. You are – when someone's going through menopause, they have more obstacles in front of them. But to say it's impossible is disingenuous. It's a lie, and it prevents people from actually going after and achieving their goals that are very achievable, as long as they're willing to put in the work. And that's it, plain and simple. Anyone who says otherwise, or anyone who says, you know what you're talking about because you're a young white guy, I'm like, number one, fuck off. Number two, why don't we bring Susan on the show and she'll put you in her place real quick.
Brilliant. I love it. Thank you. Excellent. Right, next question. What diet would you recommend? I know you're all for calories and protein. Would you change it much then in menopause? Would you up your calories? Would you up your protein, fats? Where would you go with that?
You're asking phenomenal questions. So In terms of protein, I do recommend increasing protein. So actually, this is great. This is going to be something that definitely people probably haven't heard me speak about. Generally speaking, as people get older, not just women, men too, but as people get older, number one, emphasizing protein becomes more important because
okay,
as you get older and as metabolism naturally does decrease a little bit, it's not like drastic, but it will be more drastic if you start to lose muscle mass. So you want to increase your protein intake to help spare your muscle, to help keep and build muscle. It's vitally important as you age. So I do recommend making sure you're really emphasizing protein at every meal, focusing on if you want to put a number on it, I would say 1 gram per pound of lean body mass. So I would definitely increase protein intake. I would also say, and this is really one of the only times that I say meal timing matters, is as you get older, the meal timing, generally speaking, for most people, it's not that big of a deal as long as total calories are in check. That being said, I do think there is a benefit to, as people are getting older, to having protein consistently throughout the day. So for example, I wouldn't recommend someone try and get all their protein in a single meal when they're like in their 40s, 50s, 60s and over. I would much rather them focus on getting consistent 20 to 30 grams of protein or more throughout the day at individual meals, like 3 or 4 or 5 times a day, just because that's going to be a consistent pulse of amino acids through the body. And I think that does help, especially as you age. And again, it's another disadvantage. Like, it's going to be harder, but you can still do it. So rather than maybe getting it in 1 or 2 meals, which honestly I think is a stupid strategy for anyone of any age, but some people can do it. Rather than only doing it in 1 or 2 meals, consistently having it throughout the day, I think is very helpful. I also think that in terms of calories, that doesn't change. If you want to lose fat, you'll need to be in a calorie deficit. And if you want to build muscle, you're going to have to be in a calorie surplus. If you want to stay where you are, then more of a maintenance level. What happens is, as people get older, and if they're not strength training, if they're not keeping up with that stuff, and their metabolism is dropping, and if they're not doing as much exercise, then their maintenance calorie level will drop, which means that they'll need to eat less in order to be in a calorie deficit. And that's where people are like, oh, this isn't fair. Like, I used to eat this much and I would stay the same. It's like, okay, so, but you also used to walk a lot more. You would walk around cities. You would walk around wherever you were. You were walking around the office. You were working out several times a week, whatever it is. It's like, if you're not keeping up with the same activity level, then also your calories will drop. Your maintenance levels will drop. So I would say, making sure that the calories that you're eating are in line with your goals, whatever that may be, but also remembering that if you're having less activity or you're doing things that are going to not have as much energy output than you were 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, then you can't expect to be able to eat the same amount and stay the same.
Perfect. That makes perfect sense. And with that, I know, like, when ladies are going through their cycles, they should up their calories by 200 or 300, if I'm not mistaken. Would it be the same? Just when women are going through their cycles, I know I've heard they should up their calories a little bit. Is that true or is that false?
Man, I mean, I've heard every iteration of that, and I think it really does depend on the individual and their goals. Like, I think to make a blanket recommendation of, as you're going through your cycle or whatever, you should increase your calories, is it's a little bit disingenuous. It's a little bit misleading in terms of what's that person's goal. Like, just because you're going through your cycle does not mean that inherently you need to increase your calories. I think probably what's going on is some people are getting hungrier and they're like, okay, well, so just eat more. And that turned into, okay, well, you're getting hungrier, so we should increase your calories. It's like, well, what's your goal? If you want to be losing fat, then maybe we shouldn't increase your calories. Or if you want to be gaining muscle, okay, maybe we should increase your calories. There's no blanket recommendation on that front.
Okay, perfect. So it's just eat towards your goals normal.
And I think it's even more important in this situation to be acutely aware of your habits relative to when you were 5, 10, 15, 20 years younger. Where a lot of people say, oh, I'm going through menopause, like my metabolism has slowed down so much. It's not menopause per se that's causing that. It's, well, 15, 20 years ago, you might have been chasing after your kids more. You might have been going across, like walking across the office several times a day. You might have been doing a lot more in the grocery store, going around town. if your energy output has significantly dropped, if what you're doing on a day-to-day basis is way less, then it's not menopause that's causing it. It's your activities. It's your habits. It's a really important point that a lot of people overlook.
That's, yeah, it's something I've never even considered. Thank you. That's brilliant. Activity. Perfect. Now, my next question would be, memory loss. It seems to be a big factor while going through menopause. Is there anything you'd recommend to help with memory loss?
Oh, man. This is where I will say I am completely and utterly unqualified. So I have no idea. I wish I had the answer. I have no clue. I have no clue, period, in a story. I'm not even going to go off on that one.
Excellent. No, that is 100%. This is going to be a two-part question. But look, I know you don't know 100%, but with the lack of energy playing a massive part, other than unicorn crack, would you recommend like pushing on? Would you try to recommend like taking in like coffee or something and push on through your day? Or would you rest if you're having one of those low energy days?
Yeah, so to clarify, the question is, if you're having a low energy day, how do you get through it?
Yeah, like, would you push? Would you still get up and go to the gym even though you're lower energy? Or would you just say, listen, I can't do today, energy's down, I'm going to have to skip today?
Oh, man.
Where would you be on that?
Some good questions. Here's what I would say. If it's a random day in which just on one day, like, you just feel super tired and beat down, it's not usual, you don't feel well, and it's just not a usual occurrence. Like, this isn't like a daily thing or even several times a week, and it's just like a random one-off day, then like you take a break, like absolutely take a rest. But if this is something where you consistently like, oh, I'm tired, like I'm not feeling like don't have as much energy as I used to, I would say that is it could be a function of many things. It could be that's menopause. That it could be that's part of menopause for many women, in which case, like, you're just more tired. You're just more tired. That could be it. It could also be, and I say this from having worked with hundreds and thousands of women, it could also be that it's not so much a function of menopause as much as it is a function of, like, just not being as happy because maybe there's less stuff going on. You're not as happy with where you are physically or what's going on in life. And then that transitions into more of like having less energy. And what I've always found with these women, and what these women have told me time and time again, is that saddling the fuck up and getting to the gym and doing stuff and taking action and achieving their goals is what has helped them get more energy. That's what has helped them revitalize their and reinvigorate them, and seeing themselves get stronger, seeing themselves make progress, doing the things that for whatever fucking reason there are people out there saying like, you should just accept where you are and it's going to be impossible to do it, so just stay where you are, which for whatever reason like tends to be a lot of women say that to other women, which is like, it's mind-boggling to me. But it's sort of like when you go out to dinner with friends, for example, you're out to dinner with friends and you're trying to watch your nutrition and you order a salad and they're like, ah, come on, like, live a little, like, just have some of this. You're such a killjoy, all this stuff. It's like, I thought you were my friends. Why are you telling me, like, why are you trying to, like, and what's really going on is they're not being mean. What they're doing is they have their own insecurities. And they're insecure that you're eating something healthy while they might not be. So to try and get you to do the same would almost justify their own actions. And that's what's going on with a lot of the women telling other women, it's impossible, don't do it. It's like there are other women who have gone through this and are going through it who aren't working out and who aren't watching their nutrition and who aren't taking the actions necessary to achieve their goals. So rather than say like, hey, yeah, you know what, it's possible, but I'm just not willing to put in the extra work to do it, they tell everybody it's impossible, don't do it, don't even try, it's not worth it, to justify their own insecurities and their own inaction. It's like it's so bad, and it comes from the people who are the most insecure about it. And my best advice is, like, number one, yes, it is harder. You are correct, it's harder. But not only can you do it, if you do it, you will feel better and stronger and more energized and happier than ever, because it's interesting, for when the more obstacles you have in front of you, the greater the reward on the other end. Like when you have more to overcome, when there's more adversity in your way, when you still fight through it and you come out on the other end victorious, it's disproportionately more enjoyable and more rewarding than if it was just handed to you and it was easy, because you appreciate it more and you respect it more. And I know Susan talks about this all the time. She's like, she feels better now than she has in her entire life. And even though it's harder than ever, it's more rewarding than ever. And she's fucking doing it. And that's what I see over and over and over again.
Perfect. Love it. Excellent. On that, with training and stuff, is there any particular training split you'd recommend?
So, again, this is more or less individual based. I know some women who like to do something every day or a lot throughout the week, and this could come from any number of things. It could come from literally just loving working out and loving being active. It could be a lot of times they're fearful that if they don't do something every day, then they're going to get fat, which is it's not accurate. And that's something that you sort of have to play by ear with each client and say, like, okay, like, this person really, they just love doing it and it just makes them feel better, versus this person who's doing it because they're fearful they're going to gain weight. And this is an action that's taken out of fear or anxiety. So you want to address that. And then you have other women who are like, you know what, I just want to work out 2-3 times a week and I'm good. And it's totally fine. Basically, for you just have to adjust the volume and intensity of the workout based on how often they're doing it. So, for example, I've been programming Susan's workouts for, I think, four years now, maybe even 5 years now. And she's more or less always stuck with a 4-day-a-week training plan. She was doing 6 to 7 days a week when we first started. And she was super nervous and scared when I brought her down to 4, because she was doing a lot of her workouts out of fear of gaining weight and losing progress. And when we brought it down to 4, what she found was she could give more intensity to each workout when she was doing it fewer times per week than if she was doing every single day. And she couldn't work as hard. And when you can't work as hard or as intense, you're not going to put on as much muscle. You're not going to be able to create as much strength. So taking it down a notch is really good for her. Some people, working out every day for them, they don't need to go as intense, but it's more just like, it's a habit. So brushing their teeth every day is hopefully a habit, like taking a shower or getting dressed or just waking up, making your bed. It's a habit. For some people, training every day is another way of just keeping it a habit without necessarily having to make it like maximal effort. And other people, 2 or 3 times a week, I think is plenty. If you're doing a 3 times a week split, I really like the lower body, upper body, full body. So you go lower body on Monday, upper body Wednesday, full body Friday. Or it doesn't matter the days as long as you don't do 3 workouts in a row. That's my big thing there. So as long as you're not doing 3 workouts in a row, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're good. If you're doing 2 days a week, I would do a Monday, Thursday, or a Monday, Monday, Thursday, or a Tuesday, Saturday type full body split, just full body one day, full body another day. And if you're doing a 4-day a week, I tend to do an upper body split, like I put in the inner circle, or upper lower. So it's like lower body Monday, upper body Wednesday, lower body Friday, upper body Saturday.
Okay, perfect. But like, there's no main split. It's just consistency, and that's pretty much it. Consistent.
It's what I always say all the time. It's like, I take pride in my programming and the way I write workouts, because I really think that, I really do think the way that I write workouts is among the best, if not the best in the world. I very much do believe that, especially for general population and for powerlifting, just general strength and performance. If I didn't believe that, then I think that there'd be a serious issue in terms of why would I be writing workouts that I didn't think were absolutely fucking amazing. That being said, I also say this time and again, whether you follow my workouts or you follow P90X, which I think is one of the dumbest workouts ever written, or whether you follow whether it's Orange Theory or Barry's Bootcamp or whatever, it doesn't fucking matter, because as long as you're consistent with it and your nutrition is good, you will make progress. That's it. Like, the issue is, how long can you sustain it? That is the overarching factor, and consistency and sustainability, like they're hand in hand. Everything works for as long as you can sustain it, which is why those really rapid fat loss protocols and those 21-day cleanses and all these things, it's why they work, but only for as long as you can sustain it, until you stop doing it. So it's like, everything works, like everything, but once you can't sustain it anymore, it doesn't work. And that's where people really need to get their understanding in check and really like be honest and objective with themselves and say, listen, I need to stop chasing the quick fix because I know for a fact I'm going to do it for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then I'm going to fucking quit and go back to square one and then just be demoralized again. Whereas if I just go a little bit slower and a little bit more sustainably, I will make this work over the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Brilliant. Perfect. Amazing. Okay, I've one more question for you, Jordan, and this actually comes from one of my clients. For ladies going through menopause, it'll probably just be a summary. How can they get their body back?
Say the question one more time, please.
Sorry, yeah. So for ladies going through menopause, how can they get their body back?
Interesting question. How can they get their body back? You know, it's a really interesting question. I always try to be very careful with my words because especially nowadays, people are so quick to call someone out and cut them down just branch by branch. Like, how dare you misword something and it was so offensive, you know, just destroy them.
Of course.
Basically, what I'll say is this, and I like to bring Susan up a lot in this just because she's the perfect example. Susan's the perfect example of someone who she said it a million times over that she loves her body now more than she has in her entire life. She's like, she has more muscle now. She's more defined now than she ever was before. So for Susan, it's like, she didn't get her body back. She built a whole new fucking body, right? It's like that. And I think that's on one end, a really important point to consider. It's like a lot of people inherently look at menopause as like, well, there's no way you're going to get any better. So it's like, we'll just see what we can do now. It's like, you're definitely not going to get better than you were at your peak now. So we'll just sort of just settle for whatever we can get. It's like, that's fucking ridiculous. Not only can you quote unquote get your old body back, and I'll go off on that in a second, but you can build the best body of your life if you're willing to put in the work, period. You can build the body that you are the most proud of, the most happy with, that you love the most right now. You can. It is there. It is the possibility is there if you're willing to work for it. Now, in terms of how do you get your body back, that whole thing, it's like, I mean, I think it's – I've never seen much value in living in the past. I've never seen much value from a positivity, optimism perspective from living in the – well, I want to get – like, I want to live in the past of how things were. It's never done anybody any positive, any well. And what's really interesting about that is a lot of people be like, oh, like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 30 years ago, my body was amazing. But if they're being very honest and objective with themselves and they say – and you ask them, let me ask you this. When you were 20 years ago, for example, 20 years ago, you saw a picture of yourself taken a couple days earlier. Did you look at yourself and say, wow, I look amazing? Or did you look at yourself and say, oh, God, like I hate how I look? And almost always, 9.9 times out of 10, they would always be like, honestly, I would look at the picture and I'd say, oh, like I'd see my flaws. I'd see the things that I wanted to change. I'd see where I thought I had too much fat. I'd see all. And I'm like, it's way easier to look backwards over long periods of time and think, oh, I was happier when, I was happier when. But in reality, most people struggle to be happy now. And like, it's so much easier just to look back and be like, I was always happier then, when in reality they weren't. It's always a projection. And it's like this fake idea of happiness based on something that's made up. And which is why I'd say, rather than saying like, get your body back, it's like, that means nothing. It doesn't do anything. It's, you can build your body now, period, end of story. What you have in front of you, what you have with you today, you can take that and you can build the best body of your life right now, and that's all that fucking matters.
Brilliant. Okay. That's amazing. Yeah, so simple. Jordan, I am out of questions. Thank you so much. That's very insightful.
Colin, I'm going to be honest, brilliant. Man. I did not expect us to have this kind of a conversation. I'm fucking amped up right now. It's 10:45 in the morning, and I'm like, let's go. I'm like, I'm super pumped. Like, it's funny. I'm thinking about this conversation and everything that happened, and this isn't a conversation typically that, number one, that two guys have, right? It's not often that two guys are talking about just menopause together, just shooting the shit. Hey, let's just talk about menopause for a second. But yeah, it's interesting. I'm thinking about how I want to title this podcast, how I want to, because I think it's super important for both men and women to listen to this, right? I think it's very important for women to listen to this, both women who are going through menopause or who will go through menopause, but also women coaches and also male coaches. Because I think everybody,
I think
it's super important. Like everyone hears and understands this. And it's funny because a lot of people talk about like clickbait, right? They talk about like, oh, that was a clickbaity title. It's like, oh, that title was just made so that I would click and listen to it. And I think that a lot of times clickbait is misleading and inappropriate. But I think a lot of times clickbait is actually super important if there's an important message within. And if a clickbaity title gets people to listen and take benefit from whatever was within that piece of content, I think it did its job, and it did more good than anything, because if there's really valuable content in there. And I'm thinking this whole time, I'm like, here I am, this white guy giving a young 28-year-old white guy giving advice on menopause, and I know for a fact there are going to people be like, what do you know? You're a young white guy. I'm like, number one, my race has nothing to do with this. Number two, my gender doesn't allow, like, prevent me from being able to, like, look at the research or tell anything about my experience as a coach or any of that. So I am literally thinking about titling this podcast like Menopause Advice from a Young White Guy, to see like if that, like, see if that gets more people to listen to it. But I really do think that this conversation is going to help a lot of people, whether they're going through menopause now, whether they will never go through menopause, whether they're a young man or woman, whether they're a coach, whether they're just a fitness enthusiast. And I really want to thank you for having this call, because I really believe this is going to help legitimately thousands and thousands of people.
I really hope so. I really do hope so. It's something that it's been on my mind for a long time, and no better man than yourself to have a talk with.
Thank you.
About
and congratulations on the kid on the way. It's amazing. You better be posting pictures in the inner circle. You better be posting pictures in the Facebook group.
Of course, I will.
All right. Dude, I love you. Give my best to the family. I love you. I'll talk to you soon. All right.
Jordan, I love you too. Thank you so much, brother. And we'll talk to you soon.